What's in a name? What's so important about a name? Now, in Bible times, when children were born, the parents would pray over those children, and they would give the child a name, and that name would encompass a prayer and a prophecy. And that's the reason we see so many in the Bible who had names that match the character. It goes all the way back to the parents who named those children. As a matter of fact, Jesus was to be the Savior of the world, and so the angel said, Mary, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Names had meaning in the Bible, and so it's very important that we understand what is in the name of Jehovah.
Profound truth simply stated. This is Love Worth Finding with pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers.
Would you take God's word, find Exodus chapter 20, and in just a moment, we're going to read the third commandment. It's found in verse 7. But let me say that God's plan for your home is not failure, but victory. God wants your home to be vital, and He wants it to be victorious. But it breaks my heart to say that many homes in America are falling apart, disintegrating, and it has become a national disaster. That's the reason we've chosen this theme, a perfect 10 for homes that win. These are God's commandment, and they're given primarily to the home. And don't think negatively about the commandments. Some of the commandments are negative, and some of the commandments are positive, but it takes the negative and the positive together to give the power. I was talking to Dr. James Dobson. We were having dinner one night, and he said to me, Adrian, you know, the battery in your car has a negative and a positive pole. He said, if you put your hand on the negative pole, it won't bother you. Put your hand on the positive pole and it won't bother you. But he said, connect them together and grab hold, it'll curl your hair. And that is true. That is true. It is the negative and the positive together. And that's the reason that God has given these commandments as they are. But the bottom line of all of them is this, that God loves us. And these are not rules to make us squirm like a worm in hot ashes trying to keep them. Oh no, not at all. These are laws for our good and for our welfare. And as we've said before, every time God says, thou shalt not, He's simply saying, don't hurt yourself. And every time God says, thou shalt, He's saying, help yourself to happiness. And if God says, don't do the negative, He infers, do the positive. If He says, do the positive, He infers, don't do the negative. Now, with that in mind, look, if you will, please, in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So it tells us not to take the name in vanity. That infers we are to take the name in victory. So I want you to listen today as we're talking about the negative. Don't take the name in vanity. And then the positive, do take the name in vanity. Victory. All right? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. By the way, what's in a name? What's so important about a name? Now, in Bible times, when children were born, the parents would pray over those children, and they would give the child a name, and that name would encompass a prayer and a prophecy. And that's the reason we see so many in the Bible who had names that match the character. It goes all the way back to the parents who named those children. As a matter of fact, Jesus was to be the Savior of the world, and so the angel said, Mary, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Names had meaning in the Bible, and so it's very important that we understand what is in the name of Jehovah. Now, first of all, there's personality in that name. The God that we serve is not some abstraction, some force, as you might see in Star Wars or something. He is a real person. So he calls himself in this passage, the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God. And when he uses the word Lord. He uses the Hebrew word, Jehovah. I am Jehovah, or Yahweh, as some would give it. Thy God, that's the name Elohim. So I am Jehovah, thy Elohim. And here he's not just saying I am an abstraction. I am a person. Let me introduce myself to you. And what he is doing by giving himself names, he's saying, this is who I am. And my name tells about my personality. It tells what I'm like. For example, what does the name Jehovah mean? Well, it speaks of the everlasting God who is a covenant keeper. It is God's personal relationship to his people. The God who keeps his word. And what does the name Elohim mean? I am the Lord thy God, thy Elohim. What does that mean? Well, it speaks of the mighty one. It speaks of his strength and his power. Now put them together and he says, I want to meet you. I am a covenant-keeping God who has power to perform his word. I am the God who will never break my promises to you. I am the Lord your God. Don't take my name in vain. There's personality in that name. And I'll tell you what else there is. There is power in that name. Oh, over and over again, the Bible speaks of the power of the name of our God. Remember when David came against Goliath? Goliath over 9 feet tall. I couldn't even scratch the top of his head, even standing on tiptoes. And he wasn't just skinny. He was the original Bigfoot. I mean, friend, he was big. And there he was. And everybody else was afraid to fight Goliath. And little David came out against Goliath. And you remember David came out of that tin can called Saul's armor and took just that sling, those stones, and he went out there to meet Goliath. When Goliath saw him coming, Goliath was so angered because it was a put-down to Goliath, it was an insult to Goliath that they sent this little boy out there. He thought he was a boy, just a lad, I guess a teenager, a little. The Bible says he was ruddy and of a fair countenance. I take that to mean he had a little peach fuzz on his chin. He hadn't started to shave yet, just a teenage boy. And here he comes, a little shepherd boy with that sling. Now listen to what Goliath said to David. 1 Samuel 17, verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. That's just a teenager. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Loose translation, sonny boy, when I get my hands on you, I'm going to break you in pieces and feed you to the pigeons. Now I want you to listen to what David said. We're talking about power in the name. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee, now listen, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And you will remember that David hit him in the head with that stone. Goliath was surprised. It's the first time anything like that ever entered his head. He hit him right there. He went down, and then David took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. Now, how did it happen? In the name of our God. There is power in the name of our Lord as well as personality. Jesus said in John 14, verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything we ought to do in the power of his name. Go to work in his name. Do your homework in his name. Rear your children in his name. You say, literally? Well, that's what the Bible says. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, but not only is there personality in his name, Not only is there power in His name, but there's protection in His name. Put this verse down. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Is Satan after you? Head into the name of Jesus. Take refuge in the name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will help and comfort give you. Take that name where you go. And when temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. There is protection. It's like running into a strong tower in the name of Jesus. And by the way, you can see things from that tower that you couldn't see any other place because you have a wonderful perspective. There is provision in the name. Listen to this. John 16, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." That means anything that you can sign my name to, you can have. Anything you can sign my name to, not in your name, not your simple desires, but anything that I have ordered, sign my name to the order slip and God the Father will give it to you. There's personality in His name. There is power in His name. There is provision in His name. And that's the reason there ought to be praise in His name. The psalmist said in Psalm 8, verse 1, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth." And the Bible teaches, "Oh, let us exalt His name together." There is praise in His name. So, with that in mind, I want you to think now about two things. First of all, how to teach our children not to take His name in vanity, and to teach our children how to take His name in victory. If you will teach this in your home, you'll have a home that wins. Now, what does the word vanity mean? We're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. What does the word vain mean? Well, it's the Hebrew word shav. And what it means is meaninglessly, empty of content, carelessly, thoughtlessly. The word shav, the word literally has its root in the word tempest or storm. Yeah, they would see a storm and it seemed so random. It seemed to have no rhyme, no reason, erratic, just a worthless thing, a non-productive thing. And after a while, that word became vain to mean the word vain. How do we take God's name in vanity? Well, of course, one thing you need to teach your children is never use profanity. Never, never. That's one of the most ignorant things a person could ever do, is to profane the name of God. When you take God's name in profanity, it shows two things, an empty head and a wicked heart. Both together. You see, somebody has said that profanity is a feeble mind trying to express itself. And that's true. But also, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a profane mouth just shows a profane heart. And what profanity is, it is an insult flung into the face of God. It's so needless, and therefore it's so excuseless. Now, I'm not saying a person ought to commit murder for revenge, but at least he gets revenge. I'm not saying that a person ought to steal if he has a need, but at least he gets what he steals. But what does a person get when he takes God's name in vain? Only judgment. It's like a fish that bites a hook that has no bait on it. I'm not trying to say kill or steal, but what an excuseless sin this is to take God's name in vain. What contempt it shows to Almighty God. Sometimes we hear people asking God to damn another person, when Jesus suffered in agony and blood to save people. What a profane prayer to ask God to send somebody else to hell. Around our house, we don't even use secondhand cussing. What I mean is the word darn, dang, gosh, oh no. Gee, no sir. Well, you say, why? Well, those are just euphemisms. You know, they're just substitutes for God. Gosh is a substitute for God. Gee, a substitute for Jesus. Darn, a substitute for damn. A lot of people would be surprised if they knew what they were saying when they say gosh darn. You know, be careful. Be careful with your speech. Don't use even second-handed cursing. Profanity is one way you can do that, but this commandment is not primarily about just cursing. That's about as far as most of us go with it. By the way, I have a friend, his name is Paul Anderson. Paul Anderson was the strongest man on earth. As a matter of fact, in 1956, Paul Anderson was the Olympic gold medal winner. Paul's only 5'9", but weighs 375 pounds. Can you imagine a guy 5'9" and 375 pounds? He looks a little pudgy, but he's like polished steel. He wasn't a weightlifter primarily. He's just absolutely incredibly strong. He did something no other human has ever done and probably never will do. He lifted with his back, listen, 3 tons. When we had him at Merritt Island, Brother Jim, he had a table built, a great big table, and he got 20 of the biggest people there and said, get on top of that table, and he got under it and lifted it with his back. This man, incredibly strong. He loved God with all of his heart. One time, Paul Anderson was in the airport, and he heard a man with an angry voice say, Jesus Christ. Paul came up from behind him and put a hammerlock on him and lifted him up in the air and said, he's my best friend. Where is he? Where is he? This guy looked down. He said, oh my God. He said, that's him. That's him. I don't know what happened to that fellow, but I'll bet you he thought a long time before he took God's name in vain again. One of these days, God's going to put his arms around you and say, why did you take the name of your God in vain, the God of the universes? Profanity is one way that you can take his name in vanity, but I'll tell you another way you can take his name in vanity, and that's frivolity. And more of us do this than do it in profanity. That is just taking the name of God carelessly or lightly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and uncleanness or covetous, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, and foolish jesting, which is not convenient. What does he mean by foolish jesting? This is the sin that I've heard preachers commit, teachers and deacons. They have little sayings, little witticisms that include the name of God. His name is holy. Never, ever use that name unless you're serious. I hear preachers sometimes when we're out to dinner and somebody will say something, the other preacher will say, bless him, Lord. Well, if they mean it, that's fine. But if it's just a little witticism, a little offhanded remark or some kind of a story, a man told a story about the Lord Jesus playing golf in heaven and always making a hole in one. I didn't think it was funny. Jokes about God are not funny. Now, if you use humor to illustrate something, that's fine. But I'm saying, using the name of God in frivolity, the Bible so warns against that. It's repugnant to the holy name of God. And never, ever allow your children to use God's name in profanity or in frivolity. Here's a third way that God's name is often used in homes, in vanity, and that's in hypocrisy. I don't believe that anything turns teenagers off more than hypocrisy in the home. When mom and dad teach Sunday school or when they're deacons or pastors or whatever, but they do not live the name they profess. Put this verse down. Isaiah 48 and verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and which are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel. Now listen to this. Make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. Oh, they make mention of his name, but not in truth and not in righteousness. This is why so many teenagers say, I'm sick and tired of the church. My dad goes down there, he teaches a Sunday school class, he leads in prayer, he takes the offering, he sings in the choir. My mama does this or that, but at home, they're phonies. taking his name in hypocrisy. Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, talking about the judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. If you're going to live for God anywhere, live for God in your home. And when you name the name of Jesus, do not take that name in hypocrisy. Let your yes be yes, your no, no, and let your children know beyond the shadow of any doubt that you love the Lord. When you pray in the name of Jesus, don't just forge his name to the end of the prayer. That's a hypocritical prayer. When you praise the Lord, praise him with all of your heart. Do you know, I think that sometimes we are such hypocrites when we come to church, even when we sing, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. Do you sing that and still keep sin in your heart? We sing, take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. And we hold it with all our might. We sing, faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death, and think nothing of skipping church if company comes. We sing, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Now, if you don't mean that when you sing it, you're in the same category with a man who curses and swears. You are taking the name of God in vain. You can do it by profanity. You can do it by frivolity. You can do it by hypocrisy. Now, that's taking the name in vanity. I don't want to spend any more time on that, except to say this, that God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let's just turn it over, though, because in the negative, there's a positive. How do you take his name in victory? I'd much rather you teach your children how to take his name in victory, because when they learn to take his name in victory, they'll certainly be afraid to take his name in vanity. Now, remember Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's taking his name in victory. Do you know what the last name for God in the Bible is? The last name for God given in the Bible is Jesus. Jesus. And you know what the name Jesus means? It means Jehovah saves. It is the most precious word to me in all of the Bible. All of God, all of the names of God are compressed in that one name, Jesus. Now, what do you need to teach your children if you'd have a home that would win? Three things very carefully I want to share with you, but very quickly, about taking the name in victory. Three things I've tried to teach my children, and I want you to teach your children. Number one, teach them to wear the name. Teach them to wear the name. Acts 11, verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. When we call ourselves Christians, we are wearing the name Christ, Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. When you wear the name, you've got to walk the talk. I used to, when my children were little, would drive them to school. I always looked forward to taking the children to school and letting them out. I'd try and get my work done, breakfast done, quiet time over. Put the kids in the car. We'd have that special time as I would drive them to school and let them out. And just as they would get out of the car, over and over and over and over again, every morning I would say to them, children, remember who you are and whose you are. And I didn't mean you belong to me. You belong to him. Remember, children, remember who you are. You're a Christian. And whose you are. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. We are to wear the name. Secondly, Teach your children not only to wear the name, but teach your children to share the name. To share the name. Let me give you one of the, oh, how I was blessed by this verse. I want you just to turn to it. It's easy to find. Turn to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. The last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. This is one of the grandest verses on the name of our Lord. Malachi 3 verse 16. Listen to it. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, now listen, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God has three books. He has the book of Revelation, that's the Bible. He has the book of redemption, that's the Lamb's book of life. And then he has the book of remembrance. And God is up there just writing down. He sees people talking. He sees us today fellowshipping around the name, and God just remembers that. God writes a book of remembrance that those that fear the Lord and think about his name. Now look what all is involved in this verse. This is the character that we should build into our children, to fear the Lord. Oh, when a person takes God's name in vain, it's because he doesn't fear the Lord. The greatest mark of character is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. They that feared the Lord. A nation is on its last legs when it no longer fears God. That's the character and the contemplation that you should teach your children, that thought upon his name. You want to teach your children something wonderful? Teach them the names of God. Teach them that Jehovah Tsidkenu means the Lord our righteousness. Teach them that Jehovah Shalom means the Lord our peace. Teach them that Jehovah Nissi means the Lord our banner. Teach them that Jehovah Shema means the Lord who is present. Teach them the names of God, that they might think upon his name. As a man thinketh, so is he. Psalm 9 verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. What a wonderful study for your family devotions, the names of our God. And then notice also their conversation. They spoke one to another. And what were they speaking about? Well, they're speaking about his name. When you come to church, you know, we need to share about the Lord Jesus, not sports, not weather, but the Bible says, let us exalt his name together. When we come to church, the Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 25, we're to be exalting one another. You'll come today and somebody will be down, but somebody else will be up. Somebody will have a question, but somebody else will have an answer. Somebody, friend, will be discouraged, but somebody else will be encouraged. And we exalt his name together. We exhort one another. We sing about our Lord, and in our conversation, lest so many people are putting his name down, let's teach how to exalt his name. And then the Bible says we are to do it one with another. So teach your children. Teach your children, A, to wear his name, B, to share his name, and C, and finally, to bear his name. It won't be easy. Did you know that the name of Jesus is hated more than any other name on the face of this earth? More than any other name. Can you believe that? Loved more than any other name, but hated more than any other name. And don't get the idea that when you wear the name and share the name, that you won't have any reproach. Here's a verse I want you to put in your margin, Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. It talks about the apostles. The apostles have been preaching in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. Who? The apostles. Departed from the presence of the council. Listen to this. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Did you hear that? They departed from the presence of the council after they'd been beating, not complaining, but rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now there's a concerted effort against His name, but you must bear His name. One of the men that I admire deeply is George Beverly Shea. You know George Beverly Shea because he's been the baritone soloist for Billy Graham for so long. Many, many years ago, I was at a breakfast at an Air Force base. I was sitting at the dais, and I was sitting here, and George Beverly Shea was sitting right next to me. We're elbow to elbow. And a man came up and said to George Beverly Shea, he said, "Would you sing for us?" He said, "I'd be happy to." He said, "Could you sing that song, How Great Thou Art?" George Beverly Shea is a very humble man. He said, "I'd be happy to sing that song. Thank you very much." Then the man leaned in. He said, "You know, we have some here today who are not Christians. Could you leave out that verse that says, God, His Son, not sparing?" I was sitting right next to it. I was wondering what George Beverly Shea would say. I was eavesdropping. That's what I was doing. I was leaning in. He said, "Could you leave out that verse about God, His Son, not sparing?" And in the sweetest way, George Beverly Shea said, "Oh, no." He said, "I couldn't leave that out." He said, "That would be to deny my Lord." He said, "It's all right. I won't sing." Well, I love that. "Oh," he said, "it's all right. You can sing about Jesus." He said, "Thank you very much." Then he stood up there and sang about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Teach them to bear the name, to unfurl the banner, and to march under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. Don't be ashamed of the one who died for you. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name?" What a name! Bear the name in victory. Teach your children to wear the name. Teach them to share the name. Teach them to bear the name and never be ashamed of that name above all names. One of these days, soon, and very soon, we're going to see the King. And the Bible says that God has given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to be there at the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven, we'll crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Thank you for being a part of Love Worth Finding. I thank God for His power that was manifest today in this worship center. I thank God for the souls that came to Christ. Now, friend, I want you to come to Christ. If you've never done it, the same invitation that I have given to these in this worship center, I am giving to you. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Trust Him to save you, and He will. And if you do that, would you write to us and let us know? We'll rejoice. We'll send you some literature to help you get started in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message from Adrian Rogers has been an encouragement to you as we work our way through the Ten Commandments and how they relate to your home. You can stream this message again and download Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, or a complete transcript of this message, all at lwf.org. While you're there, you can order the complete audio collection of this series, A Perfect 10 for Homes That Win, our 10-week Bible study series, The 10 Commandments for the Home, for individual or small group study, or our 10 Commandments Family Worship Kit for you and your kids. At lwf.org, you can also sign up to receive our daily heartbeat email. Each heartbeat contains a daily scripture and devotional thought from Adrian Rogers, a 90-second inspirational audio bite, also from Adrian Rogers, and a link to our daily radio program. all in one place, delivered directly to your computer or mobile device each day. Or if you're looking for some inspiration or encouragement to get you through the week, be sure to check us out on social at LWF Ministries. And don't forget, you can catch up with our program each week on our Facebook page or YouTube channel. Join us next time as we continue through our study of the Ten Commandments and how they relate to your home. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you next time.
We complain if the Ten Commandments are not posted in public places today. The question is, how many of us have the Ten Commandments posted in our home? God told Moses, "Moses, tell them to put these laws upon the doorpost of their house." And God said, "Fathers, it is your responsibility, not the government's nor the school teachers, to teach these commandments to your children."
One of Adrian Rogers' deepest convictions was for parents to share the Word of God plainly with their children. This new canvas print from Love Worth Finding features the Ten Commandments printed clearly so that you and your family may remember to honor the Lord at home first. This print acts as a useful tool to help you and your family remember the law of God and build up a home that honors Him. For your gift this month, we'd like to send you this Ten Commandment canvas print. Ask for it when you call 1-800-647-9400, or you can give online at lwf.org.